Little 10-year-old me couldn't have been more excited to work and earn an allowance toward getting her iPod Touch, the coolest invention that she'd ever heard of. However, she couldn't have been more naive to the fact that, in a way, her excitement for this piece of technology symbolized the end of a life of joy and creativity in the outside world and the start of a virtual reality, where kids and adults alike would slowly find themselves disconnecting from the present. She'd quickly discover social media in its booming empire. She downloaded Instagram to hop on the same bandwagon as her friends to keep up with the never-ending fads of the time, but it would take her years later in her downloading and using TikTok, the new up-and-rising platform, to realize that many of her insecurities originated from social media sites. Technology is still so new. I think that we all think of MySpace as being some sort of prehistoric website, but in reality, it was founded just 18 years ago. Compare that with something that's actually prehistoric, and I'd say that MySpace is comparatively still in Mother Earth's womb. Humans have this sort of fascination with the novelty of something, and right now, social media platforms like Instagram, Twitter, and particularly TikTok have our full attention. Especially after the pandemic hit, a wave of creators joined TikTok, most likely to tame their boredom from being stuck inside with not much else to do. But what exactly is TikTok? TikTok is a place where creators everywhere can share short videos of anything that you could possibly think of, as long as it meets community guidelines, or, in other words, as long as it's appropriate. Users often create funny sounds, remixes, and songs that people can dance to, which often sparks dance trends or trends of people doing funny things, like walking around on anything that aren't shoes. As long as you keep scrolling on what's called the For You page, or the place where posts from creators from all around the world appear, new posts will continue to pop up. And what's a social media platform without a comment section? Every TikTok video has a comment section where users have the opportunity to contribute to the post by adding their own opinions about it. And not only can the post receive likes, but so can a comment. And normally, the comments with the most likes sit at the top of the comment section. As of February 2021, there are over 1 billion users with the app in over 150 different countries. Yep, you heard that correctly. 1 billion users. That's about 13% of our world's population. While Instagram, and especially this app, are wonderful places to showcase one's creativity and self-expression, it's also the perfect breeding ground for the negative effects that come with any social media platform, especially due to people's free reign over their commenting abilities, and the constant stimulation of other people's posts can unfortunately lead to self-esteem issues and self-doubt. There isn't a single excuse to leave a hurtful comment on somebody else's post, but that doesn't stop people from doing it. As soon as some people see something that they believe doesn't fit today's beauty standards, which, by the way, is such a slim and unrealistic measure of beauty because sites like Instagram and TikTok have created this perfect being through Photoshop, unnatural posing, and filters, or if they see something that doesn't fit the status quo, there they go, spewing nothing but hate onto somebody that's simply trying to display their interests and creativity. I've seen comments that have said, "That's why people have trust issues," and "Just because you can fully cover your face in makeup doesn't mean you're beautiful," on a sweet and gorgeous girl's post who had a bit of acne on her cheeks, transitioning into her confidence when she puts on some makeup. I've seen comments that have said, "Please go work out now," and "Average life expectancy is 30, on larger people's posts, each of which are on diets and consistently working out to better themselves. Users have bullied people to the point where they've had to turn off their comment sections, or better yet, delete their whole social media account. Self-expression is celebrated to a certain extent. When a hobby or interest is accepted by society as a whole because it follows suit with what's coined as normal, people are all for self-expression. When it comes to an interest that's unconventional or goes against the norm, it instantly gets hate. Things like furries, cosplay, certain anime, and more. If somebody's self-esteem is impacted based on one hurtful comment out of a sea of positive ones, I can't imagine how somebody would feel with a whole ocean of hate. Oh, and let's not forget about the backhanded compliments. It might seem as if comments like, "The confidence you must have to post this," on a girl or boy's post who doesn't fit what society deems to be the beauty standard, or "Guess now I'm not gonna eat," on a slimmer person's post, or whose body fits the beauty standard, can be just as damaging as straight up hate. Projecting one's own insecurities onto somebody else is anything but necessary. Not only does it make the poster feel bad for displaying a post that would make others feel insecure, But it makes readers of these types of comments feel like there's something wrong with themselves when they were perfectly content beforehand. From what I've seen on TikTok and Instagram, backhanded compliments create the same negative energy as the hate. Responding to people's posts on social media and making fun of others through their posts is what sparks cyberbullying. After creating a survey and sending it out primarily to University of Michigan Dearborn students, one person's response regarding cyberbullying caught my attention. This person said that his or her experience with cyberbullying went something like this. I was harassed in a Call of Duty lobby. After getting absolutely turned on and manhandled in a game, they proceeded to then call me several horrible names, including and not limited to sand N-word, gay, and that I should proceed to do as my character did and drop dead. All I can say to this is, wow, people seem much more comfortable spitting hate behind a screen because they know there aren't any real consequences for them to say these types of things. But while there might not be consequences for them, there's undoubtedly a negative effect on the person that's being targeted. It's said that 38% of people experience cyberbullying daily, and that 25% of students who are cyberbullied turn to self-harm to cope with the internal pain. I think that a lot of abusers of cyberbullying forget that their actions go beyond the four corners of their screens, and if it doesn't affect them, then there isn't an issue. All in all, people in the virtual world and people in the real world are two completely different things. People in the virtual world are just downright ruthless. Thankfully for me, I can't say that I've ever personally dealt with cyberbullying or online hate. But what I can say I've experienced firsthand has been the comparisons with other girls on Instagram and TikTok. These two social media platforms are designed so that their users' brains are constantly receiving feedback. And in my case, a lot of the posts that I see are from drop-dead gorgeous girls that I wish I looked like. I've seen TikToks of girls with toned abs and model-esque physiques posting their workout routines. And I've seen my fair share of Instagram models pop up on my feed, and I couldn't help but wonder how much happier I'd be with myself if I looked like them. That maybe if I did look like them, I'd have more Instagram followers, my TikTok would blow up, and more people would want to be my friend. If these are things that I'm thinking about, then there's a whole world of girls and boys who go through the same thought process, wishing that they were somebody they're not. Just over 50% of the people that I surveyed said that there have been times when they've been too afraid to post something that they liked because they were afraid their friends or followers wouldn't like it. And most of their reasons were related to the fear of other people thinking that their interests or pictures were stupid or ugly. Unfortunately, social media comes with the consequence of comparisons amongst its users. Also, after asking the question in my survey, "What do you believe to be the most negative aspect of social media?" a lot of people had similar responses. One person responded with, "continuously having something or someone to be compared to." Another with, "sometimes what people post on social media can be impactful on others in a negative way even if it's not intended to be. You just don't know what other people are going through." And one more said, "doing anything to appease people to make yourself feel good." I think that a lot of social media platforms have this kind of subconscious competition amongst its users, where there's a race to have the best picture, the most likes, or whatever the case may be. Now, self-expression along with connecting with friends, family, and other like-minded individuals is truly a positive outcome in social media, and most of the people I surveyed agreed with this, along with one of my friends. For reference, this friend of mine has the platforms Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram, which is used primarily for an organization. She's recently given up her social media for Lent. Not only does she believe connecting with people is valuable, we also had a conversation that went something like this.
Just seeing yourself, like I know for me, I really like Mindy Kaling, I think she's really, really cool. So
yes.
When I see her, I get super hopeful for my own future. And I see her through social media and through just entertainment in general. But, you know, there's something when people are more open on social media and are willing to kind of show who they truly are. I think there's really some beautiful, there's something beautiful in that, because we're able to kind of build a community and build a positive community. Where we're all kind of supporting each other. And if it's used for that, I think that's wonderful.
Here was my response. There are people on TikTok and Instagram that I see, and it's just like, man, like, you are just such an inspiration. And I wouldn't have seen them otherwise, so it's really cool.
While we talked about this, she said that she also believes the biggest concern with social media is the comparisons among users.
I know I even compare myself to just random girls I see, or even on LinkedIn, I'm like, oh, this person's doing this, like, I should be doing this,
mm-hmm.
like, or they got this degree, I should get this degree.
With magazine ads, Photoshop, and other media that surrounds us, creates this inevitability with comparing ourselves with others, oftentimes that aren't even real, with photo editing or certain poses. And I think that social media is the perfect place for comparing ourselves to people who we wish we were, which sparks low self-esteem, body dysmorphia, anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues.
Scrolling and just be like, okay, I have to fix this part of my life, I have to fix this part of my life, I have to change this, this girl does this, and I don't do this, and it just, you just start to spiral.
But I watch your eyes as she walks by, what is a sight for sore eyes, brighter than the blue sky, she's got you mesmerized while I die. Why would you ever kiss me? I'm not even half as pretty. You gave her your sweater, it's just polyester, but you like her better. Wish I were
A study was done in 2004 that concluded that there's actually a relation between media and body dissatisfaction. If this was done in 2004 when girls and boys were looking at magazines, watching TV, and looking at ads for their forms of media, then this relationship couldn't be more true today. It was said in the study after conducting meta-analysis of 25 controlled experiments that body satisfaction for females is significantly lower after viewing thin media images than after viewing control images. A similar study was conducted with similar results, saying that body image was significantly more negative after viewing thin media images than after viewing images of either average size models, plus size models, or inanimate objects. This effect was found to be stronger in women younger than 19 years of age. After investigating and stumbling across yet another scientific research paper, I found out that the prevalence of eating disorders worldwide increased from roughly 3.5% between 2000 and 2006 to 7.8% between 2013 to 2018. These numbers might not seem that crazy, but that 3.5 statistic well over doubled in size in the span of about 10 years. While it can't really be said of how big of an effect social media sites have on this jump in numbers based on these given studies, it's obvious that it does take on some sort of role. If it's bad enough within social media's young adult demographic, it must be just as bad, if not worse, in its young teen demographic. Identity versus confusion is a stage of development, according to famous psychologist Erik Erikson's model, for people between the ages of about 12 to 20, which is such an important stage, where children are trying to figure out who they are and how they self-identify. About 97% of teens are being fed this instant stimulation from social media sites, which drives these comparisons among users, whether or not these comparisons are conscious or subconscious. Sexuality and self-identity is a pivotal aspect to the stage of development. With constant exposure to a nearly impossible beauty standard to attain, this just puts teens into a state of confusion and self-doubt. Young brains are plastic, or, in other words, adaptable to its environment and are much more vulnerable to permanent scars. Plastic brains mixed with the identity versus confusion stage of development, mixed with social media and its social norms, makes it very easy to create a headspace full of uncertainty, isolation, low self-esteem, and even dissociation within a teen. Now, I've mentioned the idea of today's beauty standards several times already, but I haven't exactly described what it takes to fit today's ideals. I asked my friend what she defines today's ideals to be, and here's what she believes.
So I know for me, that has always been a struggle. There's just some days where I feel really good, and then other days I don't feel really good. So I would love to say that, you know, the true beauty standard should be that what you feel comfortable in the most, and however you want to showcase who you are and who you feel like you are, should be the beauty standard. Mm-hmm. It should be whatever you're comfortable with, whatever you love, whatever you don't love, you don't do, whatever best suits you, and not so taken over by other people's standards for you, and it influences you greatly. But I think the beauty standard, like, currently, mm-hmm. through social media and through just what we've been told, I think it's somebody who's thinner or has a bit of curves but in the right places and has the perfect hair and the perfect face. I think those unhealthy beauty standards are kind of what's more true than what I would like it to be.
TikTok has been a major contributor to the boom in the body positivity movement. While I realize that this movement is working toward the equality of body types that don't fit today's ideals, I've seen other users of this app degrade others who have objectively won the genetic lottery and who seem to invalidate others for their insecurities, who want to participate in a trend that's supposedly working toward inclusion and people supporting people. Now, I know that there's a difference between someone who's fishing for compliments online versus someone who genuinely wants to feel the support of others for his or her insecurities, and for hundreds of people to essentially gatekeep something where all bodies are welcome and invalidate somebody else's emotions leaves people feeling worse about themselves. I think that people online have a special way of turning something beautiful into something deceitfully corrupt.
Hold me while you wait. I wish that I was good enough. If only I could wake you up. My love, my love, my love, my love. Won't you stay away?
I've had a couple people come up to me in the past couple of months and ask me the same question. If you could time travel to any period of your life, where would you go and why? Of course, it'd be interesting to see where I end up in the future, if I'll be successful and happy, but I'll get there eventually. My childhood, my pure and innocent joy, my life before meeting a whole society of people who can't lift up their heads for 1 second to see who exactly is talking to them, is something that I'll never be able to get back. I miss those days, and I especially miss not having to worry about the number of likes I'll get on a post and fear of my followers thinking it's unappealing. It didn't take me very long to realize that life is hard, but I think the addition of these social media platforms just makes it that much harder. Every time I mentally prepare myself to post something for my hundreds of Instagram followers to see, just makes me wish that time traveling were real.